You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I'm your host, Adam Miller, and today we are joined by Timothy Whitmer, who is the author of a new book called Mindscape, What to Think About Instead of Worrying. And I am really interested in getting into this topic, especially as we're talking about prayer and its importance in our aspects of worship. But Timothy, I am really encouraged to hear about your own take on this book. Thank you for joining us and being a part of the many voices for that one message.
Well, thanks, Adam. It's great to be with you today.
Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about yourself and your background, because you have a ministry that is not just your own pastoral ministry and your teaching ministry, but you're also working with other ministries and counseling and supporting them, coming alongside of them. So I'm sure you have a unique perspective on the topic of worry. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Well, I grew up in a very conservative community here in southeastern Pennsylvania, and did not trust Christ as my Savior, though, till I went to college for the ministry of Campus Crusade. And then I went to seminary, and after seminary, began to work with a church planter in the suburbs of Philadelphia. And from there, went to another church, which was a church revitalization project, and I served there. That was an urban multicultural church, and served there for 27 years. And along the way, I joined the faculty of Westminster Theological Seminary, and eventually, a few years ago, retired from the retired is in air quotation marks from the church outside Philadelphia, moving back out to where we grew up, and wound up helping a theologically liberal church turn around to become a biblically faithful church. So that's what I've been doing over the last couple of years, along with teaching at Westminster Seminary and along with writing a couple of books along the way. Hmm. Yeah, but the Mindscape book came into existence. It's really the first book I wanted to write. It's the third book I wrote, but wanted it to be the first book because it came about due to my son's deployment in Iraq, and I was observing, I was worried myself, but I was observing the worry of my dear wife, not knowing where he was. He was in a combat zone, not hearing from him for weeks at a time. And these verses in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, just became such a blessing to us that I thought I would write about it. And that's how Mindscape came into being.
Now, worry is one of those subjects that it really does plague all of us, and even those of us who seem to have a more cognitive or rational approach to life, we still have those moments where we are brought to that aspect and that place of worry because we have that uncertainty about the future. It's interesting to hear the kind of background to this story in your own life, but how do we as Christians even reconcile or wrestle with the aspect that we all have that uncertainty?
Well, that's a really great question because, of course, we're told so clearly in Scripture that we shouldn't worry, not only in Philippians, but Jesus said the same thing on the Sermon on the Mount. But I think it's really just a part of our human condition that continues and will continue until we're glorified one day. And to your point, when I was writing this book, my 11-year-old granddaughter asked me, she said, "Grandpa, what are you working on right now?" I said, "Well, I'm writing a book about worry." And she said, "Oh, I need that." So, you know, I was thinking about doing, Mindscape for teenagers, Mindscape for adults, but I'm just kidding. But you're right, it's part of the human condition because we live with uncertainty every day. And there's a gap between our faith and reality, which finds its answer in worry sometimes.
Do you think that part of the problem in worrying, and this is kind of in the context of community, is that we're really good at putting on airs that we're not worried about stuff, to where when we are going through moments where we're actually really worried about something, we don't feel like we have anyone to actually connect with because no one can relate to our circumstances?
Yeah, I think that's true. And That is one of the issues that I actually talk about in Mindscape, because the book focuses, it begins speaking about prayer in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which is kind of the reset switch, I call it, in terms of getting our minds oriented to the things of God. But then I work through what to think about instead of worrying, which we find in verse 8, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, etc., think on these things. And the very first one is whatever is true, think about that. And orienting our lives, orienting our relationships toward truth and transparency is challenging. It's exactly what you say. We want to put up a false front. We want to be appear to be right and righteous. And yet, going back to the theological question, well, that makes no sense, because we understand that we're all sinners. And in my theological perspective, we believe in total depravity. And then why are we surprised when somebody sins? Or it's just contradictory. So you're right that we do have this tendency to put up fronts so as to make it look like we're all okay, but none of us is ever completely okay. That's why we need one another.
Tell us a little bit about the meaning behind the title, Mindscape. What does that mean?
Mindscape is basically designed to draw our attention to what we think about. And so the idea behind the book, What to Think About Instead of Worrying, in that those wonderful verses in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says the first thing we should do is pray. But none of us can pray all the time, right? And so we need to think about what we think about. And that's the mindscape. It's like a landscape for the mind, if you will. And I call our worries the worry weeds. And so I'm sure your listeners will be able to hopefully see the cover of the book on your website. And the people who came up with the cover just did a great job, because it shows a contrast between, really, it's a landscape of life and a landscape of death. But the transforming power of the gospel is designed to also, transform our mindscape, the way we think. And that is obviously what we live with every day. And so the book is designed to help its readers think about what they think about.
Now, the subject of worry and really anxiety is there in Philippians chapter 4, and it gives us an admonition to not be worried about anything, because our worry is really a juxtaposition to what our theology mm-hmm. ought to be. So basically what we're talking about here is a healthy life is one that is first grounded on truth, right?
Absolutely. And that's the first of the things in the new mindscape to be planted on. And everything else flows from that. And this is where, we go back so many times in the Christian life. We go back, and I'm sure many of your listeners now into the second month of the new year are thinking about their New Year's resolution to read the scriptures on a regular basis. I hope you're hanging in there, folks, because that's the anchor. That's the truth that we need. Everything else flows from that. And so the more we are conforming our hearts and our minds to truth, the more confidence we're going to have in the Lord, and the more we're going to be able to live in faith and trust in Him. And Paul says, and this is something very interesting to me anyway, he says, so we have a realistic view here. He says that later in Philippians, he talks about concern that he has for the churches, So it's not as though it's not a don't worry, be happy kind of a thing. It's not an Alfred E. Newman, what me worry. No, but it's putting our concerns in the right place, in the right perspective, in the perspective of God's blessing and God's constant care for our lives. And so people should not think that if they're concerned about something, we're all concerned about things. We all should be concerned about things, about our families, our spouses, our kids, our parents, our churches, whatever. But there comes a time when that concern can become destructive. It can become less helpful, shall we say.
Now, when we're talking about this passage here in Philippians 4, don't be anxious or don't be worried about anything, we often approach that topic in such a way that it becomes focused on the negative. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Your book, the subtitle here is What to Think About Instead of Worry. You're kind of approaching it from a positive. Was that intentional as a contrast to what we're often used to hearing when we're talking about this passage?
Yes. I think that definitely is designed to be positive, and this isn't a a Norman Vincent Peale thing at all. But it is putting the right things in the forefront of our minds, and the forefront of our minds includes things like whatever is true and whatever is right, etc. So absolutely, it is. Filling our minds with God's truth and God's perspective on reality, so that we're not focusing on the negative. And even when negative things come up, we can, okay, let's think about, all right, here I am. I've got these bills I can't pay. I'm working really hard, and that's a negative thought, you know. But the scriptures teach us to focus on God's promises. What's true? What's true? Whatever's true in this case is that God has promised to provide all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so that's the right mindscape to have as we have to face the negative things in our lives.
You know, oftentimes when we're talking about Philippians 4:6, we're talking about that negative of don't be anxious as this big imperative, and I think we lose the context. And I've often shown this in my own preaching of the book of Philippians, is that Paul talks about worry in chapter 2 in verse 27 when he's talking about Epaphroditus, who was sick, sick even unto death. And he says in verse 27 of chapter 2, but God had mercy on him, not only on him, but also on me, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. And that's the same word we're seeing in chapter 4. So he's talking about that same sort of anxiety that he felt. So often we talk about anxiety as though it's a taboo, it's a terrible thing, but Paul kind of expresses that he had it in his own life.
Yeah, I mean, he had plenty to be concerned about. You know, he had his friends, he had his compatriots in ministry. He, as it says later in Philippians, his concern for all the churches, and it is realistic, it is true to identify and face, you know, the burdens that we have. And one of the great things that Paul tells us to focus on in terms of thinking about instead of worrying is the fact that God is sovereign. So when he says whatever is noble, that word is a translation of a word that means to look up, to admire, to acknowledge as Lord, if you will. And my take on that is to acknowledge God's sovereignty, and that is absolutely a key if we are to face the challenges and worries and problems of our life. If we don't believe that God is sovereign, then we're in big trouble. You know, Paul's great promise there in Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. That is a tremendous promise. When things are going wrong, to truly believe that behind this difficult diagnosis, behind this loss, behind this problem is the remarkable providence of God to work it for my good and for his glory. It's, wow, what an astounding place to have your thoughts when things are going wrong.
One of the things that I think has kind of become more, I don't know if it's more apparent now or if it's just more prolific now, but the conversation of anxiety and people who are anxious on anxiety medication, this is obviously a real problem. It's a real chemical imbalance in some people, and it's not always an easy solution. But how do we even approach this topic? Is it something that has become an epidemic in society, or is it just something that hasn't been addressed appropriately and biblically?
I think it's definitely epidemic, in as much as it's been estimated that 40 million people are affected with anxiety disorders, and billions and billions of dollars are spent on alleviating the symptoms. And I'm certainly not suggesting in my book that there is not a time. You know, there are those people who have chronic issues that need to be addressed in terms of some levels of medication. But I think for the run-of-the-mill worrier, which most of us happen to be, I think there are some positive steps that we can take. But you're right. People worry. Everybody worries. That comment by my granddaughter, hoping that my book could help her. Everybody worries, for sure.
For our listeners who are maybe having an anxiety disorder, or for our listeners who know somebody that they're very close to that have an anxiety disorder, there can be a huge challenge in helping those people and navigating that kind of relationship, because it often is it affects those around them as well. What kind of advice and what kind of how did the helps that we see here in Philippians 4 really lay out a structure of help for those people?
Well, I think it goes back to something you have said earlier. You said earlier that I believe that for many, there's denial going on in terms of their own lives. And sometimes one of the best things that another can do is come alongside and help them face the reality of the situation that they are facing, trying to help them to see on one level, you know, life, our minds are deceptive. And one of the issues is that many times we think about all the negatives. We think about all the scenarios that could go wrong. My wife is pretty good at that. So I think that that kind of reality conversation with a person can be very, very helpful. But you know, on a more difficult level of anxiety disorders, I think there comes a time when somebody needs to say that, well, let me take you to someone and get some counsel about this. Let me take you to someone who is an expert in this and see how we can be of help to you here. But obviously the worst thing for folks going through this is isolation. Community is crucial for advance in any area of the Christian life, in any area of holistic sanctification. So people, your listeners should know that maybe God has brought you into this situation. Maybe you are the one who's been made aware of it so that you can come alongside that person and support them and encourage them and even speak truth into their lives.
I think, you know, with our culture today, and maybe you would agree with me on this subject, with the mainstream media, with the information age, we have access to so much more information about what's happening around the world and what crisis could affect us, and politicians are quick to kind of pounce on those subjects of world doom, gloom and doom, to get votes.
Right.
How does the Christian navigate this inundation with information, and keep a balanced viewpoint when there's so many things that are provoking them to be worried?
Turn the TV off. No, I'm kidding. No, isolation is not the answer there either. But you're right. I mean, good heavens, we have so much to worry about. And it's flowing through all the media. Now we've got the computers and you've got it coming. You've got it. You got the notification on your cell phone, everything that happens wrong, you know, 5 minutes after it happens. And again, for me, one of the expressions that I coin in the book, I'll give myself credit for it, but because I never heard anybody else say it, is that I am a sovereigntist, meaning that I really believe that God is in control. And this does not mean that I'm not going to, one, be affected by the things that I see, nor does it mean that I should be unconcerned and uninvolved about the things that I see. But what it means that is that, you know, God is working out this remarkable plan, and that the prayer segment of Philippians 4, 6, and 7, where it talks about, you know, when we pray, what's the result of that prayer? Well, we're promised that the peace of God, which surpasses human comprehension, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that's a peace that is difficult for others in the world to understand, but is truly the fruit of a settled confidence in the sovereignty of our great God. And we know that that is the case, but as you know, we're frail, we're fallen, and sometimes we just forget. But when those things come around, that's I definitely think we take comfort in the fact that God is still on the throne.
You know, I think oftentimes we come to this passage and we see this imperative, do not be anxious, do not worry, and we look at it as though it's something that has to be overcome. It's something that has to be squelched and conquered. And I think when a better context of understanding as opposed to a negative, as a trigger that provokes us to do what is right, to go to God in prayer, to trust in Him, that gives us a better perspective on what, because worry is something that's natural. Therefore, it's kind of like your feeling of pain. It's, you don't want to lose that, because that's what moves you to respond.
Yeah, that's very true, and I think that is at the basis of Paul's writing, is that he presumes that people will worry, but he's giving us the right direction to look. We are to look to God first, and then we are to fill our minds with His truth. And you know, Jesus said the same thing in the Sermon on the Mount. He said that we should not worry about what we wear, what we eat, etc., because God takes care of the birds, and are we not much more valuable than they are? So you're right. It is definitely a way of life for human beings. And what a wonderful thing to be given access to the throne room of God. You know, to cast, as Peter writes, to cast all our anxieties upon Him because He cares for us. That is just, wow, so wonderful and reassuring.
One of the things I always like to ask our authors when we're talking about a certain discussion or a book is the fact that the person who writes a book is probably the one who benefits the most from it. And I'm curious to hear, based on the story of how you shared that this this topic and this study had come about as a result of watching your own wife and seeing your own your grandchild ask for it. How has this book and the study affected you?
Well, it has first of all reminded me of how frail and weak I still am, and how though I've been a believer now for many decades and a pastor for many decades, that we all struggle with the same the same kinds of things. So it was good for that reason, but also it has helped me to have a growing trust in God's plan for me. I'd say that's really the most important thing. And I've seen that continue to work itself out in my life and my ministry. And so it's definitely been a great exercise for me in my progress as a worrier.
We've been talking with Timothy Whitmer about his book called Mindscape, What to Think About Instead of Worrying. It gives us a great perspective as we look at Philippians 4 to understand that although we all worry and it's a natural thing, we are called to direct that worry to our trust in God and to look to His hand as the one who is in control, that the hand aspect in Scripture, the reminder of His sovereignty and His providence in all of life, that He is in control of all things and we can trust in Him. It's a great privilege to have you on the program with us, Dr. Whitmer. Thank you so much for this book and our conversation.
Thanks, Adam. Great to be with you.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.